distributed exclusively by BASF.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FACE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FACE. Enjoy.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. On the campaign trail, Vice President Kamala Harris holding a rally tonight in the swing state of Pennsylvania. Early voting begins there this month. Former President Donald Trump in California speaking at a fundraiser at his golf club in Rancho Palos Verdes, criticizing the Biden-Harris administration for the border crisis.
Come in and I look at what's happening now, and the only difference is that the border in 2016 was 1/20th. What it is now. We have the worst border in the history of our world. There's never been a border like this.
Trump heading to Las Vegas tonight for a rally. Boeing airplane union workers are out on the picket lines today. 30,000 machinists voting to strike after rejecting a deal. It's the latest troubles for the aerospace company. Remnants of Francine still dumping heavy rain in the southeast and Midwest. Cleanup continuing in Louisiana, where Francine made landfall as a hurricane. Power is still being restored. This is ABC News. The UN announcing significant progress has been made in its effort to vaccinate children in Gaza for polio.
An undisputed victory in Gaza. The UN says it successfully vaccinated hundreds of thousands of children against polio after the virus resurfaced during the war. The rollout that focused on 640,000 children under the age of 10 reached 90% of them, what is needed for vaccine efficacy. UN health teams working for 12 days in locations across Gaza where Israel and Hamas agreed to hold their fire. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Following this summer's listeria outbreak, Boar's Head announcing they will discontinue the sale of their liverwurst products and will indefinitely close one of their meat production facilities in Virginia. The company writing in a statement, "We understand the gravity of the situation and then the profound impact it's had." Michelle Franz and ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains from September 13th through the 16th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Good morning, Doctor.
Doctor?
Hi, Doctor.
Doctor?
Dr. Jackson's practice is growing.
What do you mean we're still short-staffed?
He needs a good patient doctor.
How do we not have enough doctors to doctor all these patients?
And he doesn't have the patience to sift through hundreds of resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The State Elections Commission is seeking just under $2 million to boost confidence in state elections. Republican Commissioner Don Millis says it's incumbent upon the commission to investigate and make sure there's no problems with elections.
The idea was to have available to the staff the resources to do these things to increase confidence in the election administration and the election process. That was really the genesis of this proposal.
If approved for funding by the legislature, the new office within the commission would focus on election integrity, such as audits and voter accessibility. Respiratory illness season is right around the corner, and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services encourages you to get vaccinated. Immunization Program Manager Stephanie Schauer says DHS hopes to improve on last year's numbers.
Last year, we saw about 35% of Wisconsinites received an influenza vaccine, which is pretty low. And similarly with COVID-19 vaccine, the rate of uptake of the 23-24 was, I think, about 19%. So we certainly have a long ways to go in making sure that we are well protected.
An updated COVID-19 vaccine and a new annual flu shot are now available. A decision may be near regarding a contested pipeline project in northern Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin DNR has released its final environmental impact statement on the proposed Enbridge Line 5 segment relocation project. The pipeline between Superior and Michigan's Upper Peninsula is 71 years old, and a portion runs through reservation lands of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, which along with environmental groups wants Line 5 shut down. The relocation project is supported by a coalition of business, agriculture, and labor groups. Enbridge will need to secure permits from the DNR and Army Corps of Engineers before work can begin. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low 80s. Showers and storms are possible tonight, lows around 62. For Saturday, mostly cloudy, 77, with a chance of showers and storms. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, 63. Mostly sunny Sunday, highs near 83. For Monday, chance of showers and storms, a high near 82. Tuesday, mostly sunny at 82. Right now, 77 degrees.
Very mixed markets as the dust settled from Thursday's big reports. What does it all mean, and where do we go from here?
Live from the final molasses cookie kind of show for this week via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net, and later, it's back to Purdue University and Farm Journal's College Roadshow. For a quick chat with Chad Fichter, Assistant Professor of Ag Finance, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, filling in for Chip Flory from Zahner Ag Hedge, Chicago's favorite son, Ted Seifried!
Woo! All right, Davis, thanks for that awesome intro, as always. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm fired up.
Good.
The message. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's exciting for me to do part of the College Roadshow as a guest host. But I am also going to say I'm a little bit nervous talking to a professor. It's been years. And generally when I had most of my conversations with professors, they weren't all that great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kidding.
My habit is to look at my feet when I'm speaking to professors. That's what I know. You know, I just sort of staring down at my feet sheepishly. I mean, it might work for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never know.
Well, you know, I guess so. Although, I mean, it's all over the airwaves. So, you know, you never can tell what we're doing, you know? So that's good. Yeah. That's good stuff.
I tell you what I would like to do. We didn't get a chance to do a very thorough job on Thursday of talking WASD. I feel like you might have a guy for us. You got a guy for us on that?
Yeah, we're bringing in Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net to talk about WASD. I've got a few things to maybe contribute as well.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is very much intended to be a bit of a report recap because I know we couldn't do it justice yesterday with everything else that was going on.
That was yesterday, wasn't it? In my mind, it's like a week ago.
I know, dude. This week just seems like it's been super busy for me
too, right?
But
it's too much.
Yeah. You know, hosting radio shows and dealing with WASD reports, that's a pretty full week for me, you know?
Well, it ain't for the faint of heart, Ted, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Wow. It's good times. Very good times.
It is.
Very good times.
It is.
So, I don't know. You got some news for us, Davis?
Well, I sure do. And I'm gonna lean into your insights on these. But we'll start here. Tensions in the Black Sea region supported a moderate rise in wheat futures in today's trade. Kiev accused Russia on Thursday of using strategic bombers to strike a civilian grain vessel in a missile attack in neutral Black Sea waters near Romania. Meanwhile, planting moisture is limited in southern Russia and parts of Ukraine, where rain will be needed soon to ensure the crops are established favorably prior to winter dormancy. December HRW wheat futures today, 13¾ cents higher, but $6 even. December SRW wheat shot 16¼ cents higher to 594¾. December spring wheat closed at 635½, up 13¾. And since it's a Friday on the week, I'm looking at the December HRW contract up 22½ cents. December soft red wheat, up 27¾ on the week, Ted.
Yeah, no, pretty good week for wheat. Yeah. Also, you know, as I've been saying, the wheat chart is the best looking chart of the grain complex. And it wasn't the report, right? The report that we saw on Thursday was about as neutral could be with old crop or with domestic wheat carryover unchanged. The global number was, I mean, for all intents and purposes, pretty much unchanged. Which is to say that the domestic situation is somewhat friendly, or the domestic situation isn't really friendly. It's a big carryover, but the global situation is somewhat friendly. And then you throw in the Black Sea tensions once again, and that's what really gave us that spark there. Certainly on Friday, certainly today. You know, so I don't know if we continue with that. I do wonder if row crops head lower, if that's going to be a big headwinds for wheat. But at least for the week, it was a really nice move there for wheat.
Yeah, it felt good. Well, corn futures firmed moderately in today's trade on spillover from wheat and crude oil. As of September 12, low water levels on the Mississippi River have forced barge operators to reduce draft limits and tow sizes, particularly affecting grain shipments. December corn futures today firmed 7¼ cents to 413¼. March corn added 6½ cents to 431. July corn futures closed at 447¾. That was up 5½ cents on the day and on the week. It looks like the December corn contract added all of 7 cents. All of that except for a quarter cent was put on today, Ted.
Yep, right. We were absolutely neutral coming into today, so today was going to define the week for corn. And if you would have told me at the beginning of the week that the USDA is going to publish a 183.6 national average yield for corn, which is above the high end of guesses, high end of the range of guesses for the USDA report on Thursday, and then told me that corn was going to be up 7 cents for the week, I'd say, you are crazy. I don't know what you're, you know, I know this is, that's not right. Well, here it is. That's what we did. Now, I will say that Friday, I think, was very much influenced by the strength in wheat. And keep in mind, you know, the Black Sea area, the first thing we think of is wheat, but the second one we should think of is corn. That had something to do with it as well. I'm really curious to see how we follow up with this next week. I'm not sure that the report that we saw on Thursday is the bullish silver bullet that we needed to say that we have the harvest lows in. I will say that nobody really believes that yield and that things have changed since that was put together.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We're starting from such a high number. How much further, how much down can it go? And that's got to be the question we're asking ourselves.
Well, Ted, soybean futures were under pressure from general weakness in the soy complex at large. Word that Argentina will once again increase soybean plantings also limited buyer enthusiasm. USDA did report daily soybean sales of 100,000 metric tons to China for 24-25. November soybean futures today 4½ cents lower at 10.06¼. January beans down 4¾ cents to 10.24¾. March beans closed at 10.39. That's down a nickel today. On the week, the November bean contract looks like we gained. Let's see, what is that? 1¼ cent. Is that right?
That's correct.
Basically dead steady.
You know, and yeah, dead steady. I mean, it was a tread the water week for soybeans, and soybeans were the ones that did have a less bearish than expected report there. So, you know, beans were the ones I think that might have been justified, but Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, harvest pressure, all that, and which way does the yield go from here? There's a lot of question marks in beans. I'm not going to do the rant I did on Wednesday about, you know, longer-term bean prospects and the need to build domestic demand and what it takes to get there. I'll get off that soapbox for the moment, and I won't be able to do it in the fourth segment, which is good for everybody, I think. But yeah, I don't know. It's sort of a blah week for wheat. Where do we go from here?
Yeah. December cotton softened 56 points today to 69.82, and on the week we're up 194 points in the December cotton. On your livestock's live and feeder cattle futures started the session with impressive strength, but price support waned through midday. October fat cattle softened 37.5 to 177.65. October feeder futures 62.5 cents lower at 239.12.5. Your October fat cattle contract actually up $2.47.5 on the week. And look at October feeders up over $8, $8.17.5 on the week. On the snout side, lean hog futures were higher. Traders worked to narrow the spread between cash and futures. Futures were unable to hold on to price strength through the close. October hogs today fell 45 cents, 78.45 on the week, down $1.05. Ted Seifert.
Yeah, buddy. I said wheat. I meant beans. You all know that. Give me a break. It's Friday.
Hey, but everybody,
here. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net. So come on back to AgriTalk.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most: our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Beck's, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit beckshybrids.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed. Distributed exclusively by BASF.
Possibly.
Better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Experience all things electric during the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event with Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls North Hall. There'll be an EV showcase, test drive of electric vehicles, an EV roundtable discussion, electric tools demonstration, kids games, and more. Food and refreshments will be available. It's the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls with Pierce Pepin Co-op Services.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert. I'm from Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory here today on a Friday. It's a very beautiful, sunny Friday here in Chicago. Man, we are getting some unseasonable temperatures. It's rather warm. It's telling me it's 86 degrees outside right now. Wow. Reopen the pools, please.
That's hot for Chicago, isn't it?
It's warm, yeah.
Let me pull it. Let me just hold on a second now. Slow down. 78 degrees here in the Constantinople of the Midwest, Kansas City, wow. USA.
What, what's the Constantinople of the U.S.? What's that reference?
There is, I use the term, referred to Kansas City as the Paris of the Midwest. Well, it turns out there actually is a Paris, Missouri.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yes.
I haven't checked whether or not there's a Constantinople, Missouri. I don't have the time. You know what I mean? I have declared it.
Who does?
That's all there is to it.
So that's it. I get it. Okay. Well,
it's settled.
Istanbul or Constantinople? It's been a long time gone since Constantinople.
Well, Constantinople's got a nice little ring to it. What's that song? To Constantinople.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yes. All right. Well, that's fun. Yay, Friday.
Woohoo!
But, all right, buddy. Well, so we have Jim McCormick from agmarket.net to help us navigate all the numbers that the USDA gave us yesterday. Certainly, the market's focus was on the production side of things for the row crops, but they didn't just stop there. There were other sort of tidbits in there as well, both on the domestic and on the global scale. So, Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, Ted. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for being on a Friday. Appreciate you, man. But yeah, with the report that we saw yesterday, I guess what was the thing that stuck out to you the most? What was your biggest takeaway?
Well, I think the biggest one is, Ted, I think the market definitely caught a little bit surprised on the market reaction didn't show up. But, you know, seeing that corn yield go up a little bit, I think there was a lot of people in the traders just absolutely convinced this crop had, you know, the big crop was not going to get bigger as the axiom goes. It was going to get a little bit smaller. And I think that was probably the biggest surprise. I think the biggest takeaway from it is, you know, if you're a producer out there, we have just a massive supply of corn coming at us right now, Ted. You had about 2 billion old crop left over, a little less than 2 billion. You got this 15 billion plus size corn crop coming at us. And the real problem is of that 15 billion bushels, Ted, 90% of it's not sold by most accounts, which means we've got a handling problem, what we're going to do with all of it, because statistically, we only store about half this corn on farm, which means the other half has got to come to market, and 40% of that other half hasn't been sold. And I think that could become a problem as we go through the fall, unless we have some kind of a economic sector, you know, essentially a situation in Ukraine that spins out of control, like you were talking in the earlier segment.
Yeah, and so with all that being said, right, I mean, we know this sort of wall of grain that we are about to run into, yet there we are up 7 cents on the week for December corn with a bigger than expected yield. Is that the market not believing the USDA's national average yield that they just showed us? Is that the market focusing on Russia, Ukraine? Is that funds covering shorts just because that's what they think they're supposed to do this time of year? What's that coming from?
I think there's two things that are really driving it. I think definitely the Russia, Ukraine story today has definitely got people nervous. They, you know, you mentioned they hit a ship, but it's not just that. Russia kicked out a bunch of UK diplomats overnight. The West is deciding, are they going to let Ukraine hit Russia with deeper, bigger missiles that go deeper into the country? You know, so there's a lot of tensions going on. I think people are nervous that we're going to do a deja vu we did a couple of years ago. That's part of it, Ted. The other part of it, I think there's a group of people are saying, look, the latter part of the year, election cycles can be very, very volatile. And I'm not sure where this is going to go. I've made a lot of money in the grain markets being short. I've made a lot of money being in the metal markets being long. The stock market's been very volatile. But what I'm pointing out to is money market inflows, Ted, last week, as of September 11th, the last weekly inflow number I've got, $23 billion with a B moved into the money markets. There is now a little over $6 trillion sitting in cash in the U.S. money markets right now. And that tells me people are just uncertain of what to do next. And the old line is, I'd rather just get my money back than lose it. Well, right now, because of the higher interest rates, you're going to get 5% plus. So I think some of this movement was people taking that uncertainty off the table. and they put it in the money market. Now, once that short covering is over with, I believe there is a risk that we'll get one more leg down as this grain does get marketed, and that marketing generates hedge pressure.
Yeah, and really, I mean, just first of all, I think what you just said about the broader picture money flow is super interesting. I'll also say, though, that with rate cuts on the horizon, potentially, I mean, the Fed funds rate's factoring in almost 100% certainty of at least a 0.25% cut on Wednesday, if not a half point cut, with rates coming down, that is less incentive for people to sit in those savings accounts and to get back involved with trading, with commodities, with stocks and things like that. So I guess my question is, if we see a cut in the rates next week, do you think that spurs a bit of a reversal of investors going back to commodities?
Kind of depends on how that does. I mean, but if you locked it in, like I said, are you using the overnight Fed fund rate, you're going to feel it. But if you went out today and you could have bought a bond, a 30-day bond, a 90-day bond, 60-day, mm-hmm. you locked that in that rate before the cut. So you may say, hey, I'm going to put enough of this money in just to wait and see. But eventually, yes, what you're going to see is that rate starts to drop. You're going to bring that money back. But like I said, I think this is more just a risk off. Remember, mm-hmm. Ted, we're 60 days out from a very contentious election cycle. Sure. We've got a lot of heat burning. So, you know, maybe they just move to the sidelines for 48 hours and get through the weekend even. But I think that's more what's going on at the moment. It's just a risk off mentality.
Right. And just to remind everybody, you risk off for grains when you have the funds and the managed money that have been really very short for a long period of time. Risk off doesn't mean that they're selling it. Risk off means that they're exiting their long position or exiting their short positions and therefore buying it. Right. So just to kind of, explain a little bit further what Jim's saying, it's a great point. It's a great point. But I do want to touch on the report a little bit more. We talked about corn yield. The USDA left the soybean yield unchanged, which is interesting because they have a different way of calculating the yield in the September report than they do the August report. But either way, that soybean yield unchanged, but the market kind of rallied on that. So what do you think on the soybean side of things?
Well, right now, it was unchanged. I think a little bit of spillover. You know, I think the government doesn't know where it's at. The early yields, I think, are going to be okay. I've talked to a lot of agronomists and seed guys to tell me, mm-hmm. they think the early yields are there. They're worried about the later yields due to the dry August into September and the heat, that maybe the latter, you know, the later group beans are not going to perform as well. Mm-hmm. I think the market's a little bit concerned about it. I'm honestly not too worried about it, Ted. I mean, the reality is we've got about a 500 million, 550 million carry out.
Yeah.
If we lose a half our bushel or so, it's not going to be a game changer.
Right.
And I think eventually the beans are going to go down. The wild card is all going to be down into South America. Now, they left South America pretty much alone on this report. Mm-hmm. The wild card is that big reversal up, as you know, in Brazil. They're projecting this monster Brazilian bean crop.
Yep.
That is going to be the interesting factor for the beans. And, you know, if Brazil has a big crop with a 500 million plus carryout, that, unfortunately, it's hard for me to be bullish beans. I think the floor could fall out of the bottom of this market, especially if these bean yields hold into the latter part of harvest and we get into October and you're starting to see some rain in Brazil. That could be very ugly, I fear.
Yeah, and I do want to get into South American weather here in a little bit, but before we do that, with everything that you've just been saying, because I heard you say, Jim, that you know you think there's another leg lower potentially in corn based on selling pressure coming from harvest. You just said that you think there might be another leg lower in soybeans based on a 550 million bushel carryover and also selling pressure from harvest. What are you telling guys to do? Because I get this question, you know, 15 times a day. What do I do here in front of August, you know, sitting Friday the 13th of September? What do I do, Jim? And what would you say to that?
Right now, if you can store the grain on farm, I'm going to tell you probably store the grain on farm because the weather in South America is just as unpredictable as ours. Mm-hmm. So if you can store it on farm, do it. If you can't store it on farm, then you got the hard decision to make. I'm leaning to tell you to sell it right out of the field. Storage fees, I think, are going to be very, very expensive this year. And it's probably more cost efficient to sell the grain, take the lower price, and maybe go out and buy an out of the money call for essentially half the price of storing. Mm-hmm. If you're kind of worried about this story of the market going down, Ted, I'm not selling futures. I'm not selling cash. I'm going with puts.
Okay.
Because the puts will put a floor under it. But I like the October week one puts. but leave that topside open because, you know, God forbid if things get worse in the Ukrainian situation does get worse and the wheat market does catch a bid, it may pull the corn up even though the fundamentals don't make sense based on the size of this crop. But we saw what happened today. When money gets fearful of what's going on, they will continue to buy to lighten up that risk, that short position. So the puts will keep the floor in if that money does go up. But if that hedge pressure kicks in, you've taken advantage of this bounce off the lows.
All right. So Jim wants ownership of downside protection, but also ownership of upside potential. I think that's a really fantastic strategy, Jim. Thanks for that. And okay, well, time flies when you're having fun, but we will be back for the next segment talking to Jim. So everybody, buckle up and come on back to AgriTalk.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
Stop hoping for the best with your dry fertilizer. Apply Titan XC, a powerful biocatalyst that optimizes the breakdown of your dry fertilizer for increased nutrient availability and uptake. Power crop performance next season and maximize your yield, even with variable weather, prices, or soil types, with Titan XC. Visit CropFertility.com or contact your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant to learn more.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were 13 and three quarters higher at $6 even. December SRW wheat shot 16 and one quarter cents higher to 594 and three quarters. December corn futures burned 7 and one quarter cents to 413 and a quarter. March corn added 6.5, 431 on the close. November soybean futures were 4.5 cents lower at 10.06 and one quarter. January beans down 4.75 cents to 10.24 and three quarters. December cotton softened 56 points to 69.82. On your livestock, October fats 37.5 lower 177.65. October feeders 62.5 lower 239.12.5. And October lean hog futures today 45 cents lower at 78.45. Get more market news every market day. Visit TryProFarmer.com.
Do it.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit Osteoplastics.com.
Whatever your industry or service, we know running your own business is a point of pride. Pride in serving the community and pride in building something greater. And at Wisconsin Credit Union, we take pride in helping you achieve it. By offering everything from business accounts to ACH services, business remote deposit and card processing. We also provide the latest online and mobile banking services to save you even more time. And because investing in your business is key to growing it, we provide great rates and fast local decision-making on loans. We even offer the convenience of applying for our Business Express loans online. But what truly sets us apart is the level of personal attention you'll receive from Wisconsin loan officers who really know the local business climate. Because, like you, we're also proud to be a part of it. To find out more about our business loans and services, just stop in or visit our website. Wisconsin Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender. Member eligibility required. Member NCUA.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low 80s. Showers and storms are possible tonight, lows around 62. For Saturday, mostly cloudy, 77, with a chance of showers and storms. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, 63. Mostly sunny Sunday, highs near 83. For Monday, chance of showers and storms, a high near 82. Tuesday, mostly sunny at 82. Right now, 77 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory here on this fantastic Friday. I can say that. Yes, sir.
Yeah, go on. Go on. Finish your thought there on this fantastic Friday. I love that alliteration.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just going to continue with the theme of corn was up 7 cents for the week with a 183.6 national average yield. Yeah. That's pretty fantastic for a Friday, in my opinion. So
right?
There you go.
I've got a question. And while we've got Jim McCormick here as well, I'll just throw this out super quick. And maybe it's nothing. If I'm full of malarkey, just cut me loose here and go on about your day. But this week, as I've been waiting for the settlements, it's been late. Like every day this week. We usually expect them, what, 1:20 Central Time? I'm not getting them till a half an hour later, dude. Has this been your experience too? Do I need to update my software or something, or is there something to that?
Okay, so now this has turned into Friday tech solving with Davis Michelson and Ted Seifert and Jim McCormick. I don't know, buddy. I've been getting my settlement prices literally within seconds after 1:20. I guess it kind of depends on the platform you use. Jim, have you had any issues with settlements this week?
I can also say I don't think I've had any issues at all. I think, like I said, within a few seconds, it seems like. So I guess that tells you you need to call tech support.
I believe I will. Thank you, fellas. As you were.
But thanks, Davis. That's some very good insight, as always. Okay. So, you know, we kind of went all over the place in the last segment, Jim, which is exactly what we want to do, because this is not a scripted conversation. This is a conversation, right? And this is that's great. But I did want to ask you before we move on to some other things. We talked about corn yield. We talked about bean yield. So, I mean, we really kind of covered the production side of the WASDE report that we saw on Thursday. Was there anything else in that report that stuck out to you? From a, you know, demand side perspective, either domestic balance sheet or global balance sheet?
Well, I'd say, Ted, the one thing I find interesting on the demand side, and I'm not surprised they didn't change it, was the soybean exports for the U.S., the new crop, being, what, 150 million higher year on year. Okay, and the reason why I say that is we're so far behind our sales pace to China at the moment. I mean, right now, I think the purchases right now are the second lowest in 16 years. Mm-hmm. Now, can that pick up? Of course it can. But right now, you look at it, and I like, at this point, I don't even know if we can hit last year's 1.7. So to dial in 1.850, that's definitely the USDA taking the glass, not half full, completely full on the optimism that demand is going to show. And it might, and that's going to probably depend on what South America does. If South America stumbles, then that number, I think, looks legit.
Yeah.
But if
yeah.
South America does not stumble, I think it's just a matter of time where I would argue they're not manipulating the balance sheet. They're taking a very optimistic viewpoint. They're managing it. But if you don't raise demand by 150 million, your carryout is what? Staring at 700 million carryout?
Yep, 700 million bushels.
And, we've already got a very tight problem with the farm balance sheet right now. Mm-hmm. If we're staring that kind of a number in our face, and they showed that yesterday, I don't think you'd be seeing beans trade where they settled at today. I think it'd been one of the more bloody days if they would have actually done that. So I think, you know, we'll see. But like I said, I've been telling my clients that, hey, I don't remember one weather guy telling me in June we're going to get enough rain to erase the drought in Iowa in July. Mm-hmm. And in July have weather guys go, oh, by the way, it's going to flip. And August is going to be one of the driest on record. Mm-hmm. You know, so we just don't know. Time will tell.
Time will tell. That is absolutely true. Now, I have been kind of poring over export sales and inspections numbers year over year and everything like that. And we are absolutely behind. Any idea, right, where do you have us behind? Behind the USDA's number or behind last year? What do we need to hit? What do we need to average weekly on our export sales reports to say, okay, this is actually maybe going to get to where the USDA has us projected. What sort of numbers do we need to see?
Well, I just think in general, you know, when you get the weekly numbers, folks, everybody give you, are we ahead of last year's pace, below last year? I think you got to get five, you know, at least a percentage, 5 to 10% above, just to continue to get caught up, Ted, because the problem we've got is we're running out of time. And I know that sounds crazy, but we're at mid-September. Our bean window to ship beans is really October, November into December.
Right.
And that's it. And now we've got a problem with the river levels.
Right.
That continue to drop. Now, you're mentioning you're outside of Chicago. I'm here in Barrington, about an hour outside of Chicago. There is no rain in the forecast. If you notice, for the next 7 days, like, there is zero rain. It is going to be a beautiful stretch, fall stretch, to dry the crop down. But that is not what we need right now, folks. We need a little bit of rain to fill that river up. Otherwise, we're going to continue to struggle to get grain out. And we can't ship it off to P&W, Ted, as you know. But there's just a logistics issue of how much you can get off the P&W, and that, you know, could be the big constraint when it's all said and done near term.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I talked about it on Wednesday's show. I said, you know, based on where we are, the commitments that we have, the sales that we had for new crop versus last year and versus the USDA's expectation of that 150 million bushel increase, I was saying we were about 9 million metric tons behind where we need to be on pace to hit the USDA's target. That number shrank. And the reason it did is because we carried in sales. We rolled sales over. You never know if they're going to roll over, if they're going to get canceled. But just to update that number for you guys, it's a little under 7 million metric tons. It's still a very, very big number. And in my opinion, we need to be averaging 5 to a million metric tons higher year over year for that same week in order to say that we're catching up to the USDA. So that's kind of where there might be an opportunity to do that. You've touched on South American weather a number of times, Jim. And right now, I see a lot of chatter about how dry it is in Brazil, specifically in Mato Grosso, and for the fact that that Brazil doesn't like the saying, if you plant into dust, your bins will bust. They kind of do that for corn, but for soybeans, they're very reluctant to plant until they have rains, until they have the moisture. So is that on your radar? Are you worried about South America planting late? Do you think that could be beneficial to us?
Okay. The later they plant, the more beneficial it is, because it keeps that window for us to ship beans out. It extends that, elongates that window, which is good. And also, if you delay the planting, then you delay the Safrina crop, folks, which means that gives us maybe a little bit better window to ship our corn out in the spring when we ship a lot of grain. So I think that is a promising story. The dryness issue, Ted, in my opinion, is definitely a problem. But the reality is the soils they have down in Brazil, they don't hold a lot of water. If you remember, it seems like Brazil is always 10 days out, you know, 15 days, they're looking for that next rain. Now, it's been one of the driest stretches on record, but if some of the maps start to change, and I saw a map come out at noon today, I think it was Euro projecting the latter part of the model run, you're going to start seeing more rain start to develop in South America. So October is the raining season, and if they start getting that rain on time, I think it changes that bullish story very, very quick. But it has not rained yet. You know, as we know, forecasts don't always come to fruition. But right now, I'm not going to bet my bean crop, if I'm a farmer, thinking we're going to get this dramatic rally on the fact that Brazil is not going to get the rain, Ted, because I got to go on history. And history says it's not if it's going to rain in Brazil. It's just a matter of time when that rainy season starts. It is a rainforest, you know.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's right. I mean, well, it wasn't last. I think we all kind of remember last year where Mato Grosso just went months without really any significant rains. But if you remember, the market really didn't rally on that at the time either, right? And you know, so the reflection on it, I think, is do we get the export sales? I think if we want to get excited about South American weather, the trigger to do that, the justification to get excited, is when we start seeing China come in and buying a whole lot of our beans, because that means China's concerned about the weather in South America. And when that happens, well, then we're actually going to see a difference on our balance sheet. So, yeah, I think you're spot on, Jim. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay, it's possible that we could have something that extends our export window that does give us a little bit better warm and fuzzy feeling about our soybean exports, but not likely. And then in the meantime, you know, what do we have to hang our hats on at this point? Like, do you see any sort of recovery once we get through these harvest lows?
Well, I do think you will get somewhat of recovery because the markets will trade. I think, you know, I do think in the long run, you'll get some optimism of the renewable diesel inputs and stuff like that. It's not going to stay there because Brazil is a big continent. There'll be a lot of weather scares. But the overarching thing I have, Ted, I'm really worried about the beans is two things. A, if Brazil does have a bean crop, you know, you're looking at, you know, the projected world carryout growing, you know, essentially massively, you know, massive amounts of numbers from 112 million metric ton ending stocks to 134.6. That's one. The other thing I'm worried about the beans is what's going on here in the United States. With the economic situation the farmers are under right now, here, the team here at Ag Market is hearing a lot of people talk about not putting fall fertilizer on this year, which has got a lot of the seed guys wondering a lot less seed corn being sold and potentially a lot more beans. And the reality is that is the last thing the world needs if Brazil has a normal crop, is the American producer shifting away from corn to get away from the more expensive crop to a little bit less expensive input costs going into beans. Because, like I said, with the normal crop of Brazil and Argentina, we are going to have essentially the highest gross tonnage of bean carried over ever, and I think the second highest stocks to use. We're plain and simple oversupplying the world without a weather problem.
Absolutely. 2 years ago, or two marketing years ago, we had just under 100 million metric ton global carryover. Now we're at 135. What a difference that is. Oh, my. And I do think that corn is going to need to lead the way. It needs to buy acres at some point. Jim, really fantastic conversation, man. Really loved having you on. Thanks for coming on a Friday. Good stuff as always. And enjoy that great weather that you have out in Barrington here this weekend.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Ted.
Absolutely. Everybody else, well, when we come back, we're going to be continuing on with the College Roadshow. So come on back to AgriTalk.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by right now to answer your questions for free. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-7300. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell our listeners who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me join you to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now and find out how much your case is potentially worth. Call 800-702-7300.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. If you think you deserve compensation, call now to find out how much you qualify for. 800-702-7300.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Last year's RV trip, we met a couple with the same bumper sticker. What are the odds?
Your cousin isn't a good storyteller.
He was a podiatrist, or was it a pharmacist?
Huh, you don't say.
Oh, I can't remember.
But she owns an RV protected by Progressive, and you don't. So until you get your own RV, her stories are the most interesting stories you've ever heard.
Wow, interesting.
And when you do get your own RV, save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive.
Oh, anesthesiologist. He was an anesthesiologist.
Progressive Casualty
right.
Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Beck's, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit beckshybrids.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about adults, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Beck's. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BecksHybrids.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody, on this Friday. Happy Friday. My name is Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip. And, well, we just had a rather rather interesting conversation with Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net. I really initially wanted to have a bit more of an in-depth conversation about the USDA WASDE report, which we did do. We just kind of spread that out a bit. But I really like what Jim had to say about money flow and bigger picture stuff, because I think that a lot of times gets lost in the mix when we're talking about markets, when we're talking about agricultural markets. We are influenced by these things, not all the time, but certainly sometimes they're more in the backdrop. Sometimes they're more up front and center. I think they're right about in the middle right now, and they could become more up front and center. And so it's great to hear the insight on something like that. Really appreciate it. But just to kind of recap a couple of things that Jim said, look, a wall of new crop cash sales coming. I absolutely agree with that. The worry of soybeans really gaining acres, I think, is going to cause corn to have a good reason to find some strength later on, going into the end of the calendar year and so on and so forth. So I do think there might be a light at the end of the tunnel, but that tunnel might not might not be there here for a little bit. So anyways, really enjoyed that conversation. Hope you guys did too. And now we are going to continue on with the College Roadshow. We're doing Purdue. Yeah, Purdue. One of the best ag econ schools out there. We're talking to Chad Fichter. He's assistant professor of ag finance in the ag econ department at Purdue. Chad, how's it going, buddy? Happy Friday.
Hey, it's going great.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Chad, give us a little bit of an idea of what you do there at Purdue.
Yeah. So, I work primarily in research and extension and teaching. So, I teach our advanced farm management course. Nice. Here, this is the first year that I'm teaching it, but I'm really enjoying it. And primarily, my research focuses on kind of production issues around farm management and also finance.
Okay. All right. Markets included in that?
Yeah. I mean, I think in some senses, I always think of from the farm management decision, I always think of markets as kind of like it's a constraint that I can't control. So I got to figure out a way to manage through it.
Yeah. No, I think that's extremely well put, right? I mean, it's it's one of the many hats that producers, farmers have to wear. It's not always the front and center thing, but it is sort of an important part of the overall thing. Now, when you talk about the Purdue program, you know, it's a very storied program. But what would you say to a high school senior that is looking at different schools? Why choose Purdue?
Man, that's a great question. So I actually did my undergrad at Purdue too in farm management in the ag econ department. So kind of, I think I'm living multiple different levels of this specific department and then kind of the broader institution. And at this point, what I would say, and I don't know if everyone would hold this belief, but I think the special part of Purdue is we still get a lot of really engaged students from farming backgrounds, from agribusiness backgrounds that are really interested in kind of, you know, this space particularly. So I think at other places, it's, you know, sometimes difficult to find the spot. But here it seems like the power is, you know, it's a big place, and this place is a big place that still really loves ag. And it seems like we've got enough students that, like, we kind of have that momentum moving in the right direction, which as a person who likes people, that's a sell for me.
Yeah. I'm a person who likes people too. That would be a sell for me also. Sign me up, right? But yeah. And so being there, being involved and teaching, and you have a bit more of a background than just the academics, right? I was told that you began farming in northeastern Indiana. How do you incorporate that into what you're doing at Purdue?
Yeah, so I mean, that's the reason I'm here, to be totally honest. I did an undergrad here, and just basically, I always joke that, like, I wasn't a bad enough student to be known by professors for being bad, but I wasn't a good enough student to being good, because the whole thing is I wanted to go home and farm, and I did that. So I left Purdue and went home and worked with my mom and my dad and farmed for 10 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And just really, truly enjoyed the experience for sure. And then I always joke that I have had a midlife crisis, but it's not really a joke. And so I had a good friend who really trusted, and he said, hey, why don't you think about going back to grad school? I think you'd like it. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I went back to get a master's degree, and really kind of just fell in love with research. I think one of the challenges as a producer was, I'm of the vintage. I'm not 40 yet, but I'm getting close, where the data explosion just kind of happened. And I'm still sitting here today saying, we've got all this data and we're still struggling to make decisions with it. So I think that idea of trying to integrate kind of the broader resources that we have that are kind of still emerging, how do we continue to harness those to move forward efficiently as a farm sector? That's really what kind of drives a lot of the research that I do.
That's really fantastic. So, I deal with markets and I pore over data all day, every day. And so, you know, trying to extrapolate what data is actionable and what data is just sort of interesting to look at, but not necessarily a decision-making piece. I call that paralysis by analysis. You can go too far. I mean, there's just so many numbers, and the access to data these days is really, really extensive. So, wow, Chad, awesome. Man, really great to meet you. Purdue sounds like an excellent program. If I were doing this all over again, it would be high on my list of places to look at. So appreciate you coming on the show here today. Have a wonderful Friday and the rest of your weekend. But thanks again, man.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ted.
All right. Well, Davis,
right
man,
on.
It's been a week, you know?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. Real quickly, I've got the weather forecast here, the 6 to 10 day outlook according to the National Weather Service Climate Prediction Center. Roughly the, just call it the western half of the U.S. above normal temperatures expected, that near normal to below normal temperatures over there on the west coast is kind of scooching eastward. I'm feeling like, oh no, then we look out to the 8 to 14 day, it's hot everywhere near normal in Nevada. That's about it. Ted Seifert, thanks for being here. Take us out, brother.
Hey man, thanks for having me. You know I love doing the show, so everybody have a wonderful weekend. And hopefully a happy Monday too. Take care, everybody.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith,
our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed. Distributed exclusively by BASF.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation.